This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
How would you love a chance to save some money on car insurance? GEICO can help. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote and get started seeing how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Yet more lives lost. Good morning, I'm Jennifer Kishinka in for Gordon Deal, along with Dom Savino on this Monday, June 6th. Here's what we have for you this hour.
At least 12 people have been killed in yet another weekend of mass shootings across the country.
Gun reform legislation is making some progress in the Senate.
Russia took aim at Western military supplies for Ukraine, with airstrikes in Kyiv that it said destroyed tanks donated from abroad.
Have plans canceled at the last minute? You're not alone these days.
So as COVID cases kind of rise, ebb and flow in the country, there's more people that are canceling plans for different reasons, including just being more safe around COVID protocols and or because they're tired and they don't feel like it.
Alina Disick of the Wall Street Journal will be here in about 20 minutes with that story. Shootings in three cities killed 9 people and wounded 24 more on Saturday night and Sunday morning, the latest outbreaks of gun violence in the wake of 3 mass shootings that have rattled the country. In Philadelphia, a confrontation between 2 men escalated into a gunfight that sprayed bullets into a crowded bar and restaurant district, killing 3 people, wounding 12, and setting off panic as people tried to flee. Philadelphia Police Commissioner Danielle Outlaw.
These incidents have an exponential effect on our community. And it not only impacts the individual that's been directly victimized, but it victimizes their loved ones, their families, and their neighbors, neighborhoods all over the world.
In Chattanooga, 3 people are dead and 14 wounded by multiple shooters outside a nightclub. 2 died of gunshot wounds and a 3rd died of being struck by a vehicle while fleeing. Chattanooga Mayor Tim Kelly.
While we're still gathering the facts in this case, we know that many of the recent acts of violence in our community have revolved around a very small group of people. Often the same people, over and over again.
In Michigan, Saginaw police were called to a scene where 2 men were pronounced dead and 1 woman was transported to a hospital where she died of her wounds. In Uvalde, funeral services were held yesterday for 10-year-old Alithia Haven Ramirez, one of the 19 schoolchildren killed in the rampage by an 18-year-old man armed with an AR-15 semi-automatic rifle. The Senate Democrat leading a push for new gun legislation says discussions over red flag laws and background checks are making progress, and he expects a package of measures to be ready for debate this week. Chris Murphy of Connecticut says he and Republican Senator John Cornyn of Texas are working together to craft a package that will garner the 60 votes needed for any new legislation to advance and pass the Senate. On CNN, Murphy said they're looking at regulations Republican-led Florida adopted in 2018 as a template for nationwide proposals.
Republicans realize how scared parents and kids are across this country. I think they realize that the answer this time cannot be nothing.
A leading Republican, Senator Pat Toomey of Pennsylvania, told CBS an expansion of background checks should be part of the package.
I don't know that we'll get exactly what Senator Manchin and I developed some years ago. It'd probably be something different than that, and that's fine. There are a number of mechanisms you could use to expand background checks, but I just think it makes sense.
Finding common ground in the evenly divided Senate is critical for the legislation, with many Republicans resistant to restrictions. Russia is continuing what British officials have called a creeping advance of Ukraine's Donbas region as Russian President Vladimir Putin warned of a new threat of military escalation in Ukraine. This morning's Mike Gavin has more.
Russian troops blew up bridges and shelled apartments in the Luhansk province still held by Ukraine. If captured, Putin would take control of the contested area. Military analysts say Russia hopes to overrun Ukraine's embattled eastern industrial region, where Russian-backed separatists have fought the Ukrainian government since 2014, before the arrival of any U.S. weapons that might turn the tide. The Pentagon said last week that it will take at least 3 weeks to get the U.S. weapons onto the battlefield. Meanwhile, Russia struck Kyiv with missiles for the first time in more than a month. One person was hospitalized, though there were no immediate reports of deaths. Jen.
Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin says he's embarking tomorrow on a multi-stop international trip that will conclude with a meeting of NATO defense ministers in Brussels to discuss Ukraine, as well as the applications of Sweden and Finland to NATO. Coming up, how hospitals are skirting transparency rules.
Innovation. Resilience. Agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Jennifer Kishinka in for Gordon Deal, along with Dom Savino. A federal rule requiring hospitals to post prices online took effect a year and a half ago, but spotty data and noncompliance have meant the rule has yet to live up to its promise of lowering healthcare costs. More from Jesse Hellman of CQ Roll Call. Jesse, how are hospitals skirting the rules? A federal rule requiring hospitals to post prices online took effect a year and a half ago, but spotty data and noncompliance have meant the rule has yet to live up to its promise of lowering healthcare costs. More from Jesse Hellman of CQ Roll Call. Jesse, how are hospitals skirting the rules?
Yeah, so like you said, it's been quite a while since these rules took effect, but there are many that still aren't posting their data online that lists information like the rates they negotiate with insurers, the cash prices that uninsured people pay, and other information that was supposed to be helpful for employers and researchers to lower healthcare costs.
Why are they not complying?
So the hospitals will note that there is a part of the rule they're complying with. It is the requirement that they post a list of these so-called shoppable services that list common procedures that patients get. And this is more of the user-friendly data that the rule asks for, but critics will say that this information isn't really helpful because it doesn't tell patients exactly how much they're going to be paying. The other part of the rule requires these really intricate, large data files that list a lot of information about these prices. And this information can be used to analyze and kind of really understand how prices are set from insurer to insurer or from payer to payer. And this information is what's expected to be really useful, but it could also lead to hospitals having to accept lower rates when there's more transparency around this data. And so it might not be in their financial interest to comply. CMS, which is the agency that is enforcing these regulations, also hasn't been issuing any fines for noncompliance. So that could also be another deterrent.
Do we know why CMS isn't fining hospitals?
So CMS said they've been issuing warning letters or they've been asking hospitals to release plans to come into compliance. So it looks like they're trying to really work with hospitals. But people I've talked to say it's been a year and a half. CMS just needs to start fining hospitals that aren't coming into compliance and they need to stop giving this benefit of the doubt, because it's been a long time and hospitals should know what they're doing by now.
We're speaking with Jesse Hellman of CQ Roll Call. Jesse, your story talks about machine-readable files. What does that mean?
So these are really large data files that contain a lot of information that could be used for research purposes. It can kind of help researchers and payers understand what prices different insurers are paying for services. And the hope is that this can help drive down healthcare costs. If you are, say, a payer that is paying X amount for an MRI and you find out that another payer is paying less, then you can kind of bring that to the negotiating table. This is kind of the intention when the Trump administration finalized this rule a few years ago, that transparency would help bring down healthcare costs.
Jesse, your story also points out that there are some geographic patterns of noncompliance, that some hospitals may be looking at their competitors and saying, if you're not doing this, I'm not doing this. Is that what they're finding?
Yeah, exactly. So I've talked to some people who've been analyzing the data that is online, and it does seem like there are regions where there are patterns of noncompliance. And the person I talked to thinks that's because the hospital does not want to be the first person in their region to release this data. If they see that their competitors aren't doing it, then they don't want to do it because they think that that could put them at a disadvantage. So it kind of ends up being in a situation where there's a standoff.
Jesse, your story also points out there will be a similar rule for insurers taking effect on July 1st, and perhaps that will give consumers more information that they want?
Yeah, so the people I've talked to are really hopeful that the information that comes out from this rule will be more useful. Insurers are expected to comply. There are some of the largest insurers, like United Healthcare, has already put up a website kind of preparing for this launch of information.
Thanks, Jesse. Jesse Hellman of CQ Roll Call. It's 20 minutes past the hour. Here's Dom Savino.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
There was another string of gun violence across the country this weekend. Mass shootings were reported in 8 states. Among the sites, an entertainment district in Philadelphia, a nightclub in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and a graduation party in South Carolina. In all, at least 12 people died and more than 60 others were wounded. Chattanooga Mayor Tim Kelly called on Congress to do something.
That doesn't mean taking guns away from responsible gun owners, but it does mean mandatory background checks and prohibiting high-capacity magazines that allow shooters to hurt dozens of people without even having to reload.
There have been at least 246 mass shootings in the U.S. this year.
Number two.
Meanwhile, economic issues remain top of mind. That includes gas prices, which start the week with a national average of $4.86. On ABC, Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg pointed the finger at oil companies.
It's been very striking right now to see these oil companies who have become almost ridiculously profitable. And you hear these oil executives on the record talking about how they're not going to increase production.
On Wall Street, investors await a report on the pace of inflation due out Friday. There's hope it'll show inflation has finally peaked.
Number three.
British Prime Minister Boris Johnson may be on his way out of office. Lawmakers in his Conservative Party have triggered a no-confidence vote. The party will vote later today to determine if Johnson will remain the nation's leader. The prime minister's popularity has plummeted in recent months, in part because of new info about those law-breaking parties he held at the height of a nationwide COVID lockdown. The first named storm of the Atlanta hurricane season swept through South Florida over the weekend. Tropical Storm Alex hit Miami-Dade and Broward counties with up to 14 inches of rain, producing flooded roads and stranded cars. This morning, the storm is moving across Bermuda, where they're experiencing winds up to 65 miles an hour. And Top Gun Maverick remains top dog at the box office. The film led the way for a second straight week, bringing in an estimated $86 million.
Let me be perfectly blunt. You are not my first choice. You are here at the request of Admiral Kazansky, a.k.a. Iceman. He seems to think that you have something left to offer the Navy. What that is, I can't imagine.
Yeah, Tom Cruise clearly has something left. Paramount says that for films that have opened above $100 million, as Top Gun did 2 weeks ago, this is the smallest drop in ticket sales from week one to week two ever.
So far, so good.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Thanks, Tom. Coming up, how canceling plans has become the new norm.
When you're an innovative business, every blinking cursor is an opportunity. What will you do with it? Will you make something better or create something new? Our Dell Technologies advisors provide you with expertise and tools with Windows 11 to do incredible things. Because we believe there's an innovator in all of us. To do more with a Latitude laptop, Dell Technologies recommends Windows 11 Pro for business. Call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL.
Calling off plans at the last minute used to be seen as rude. Now it feels like a permanent consequence of the pandemic. Here with the story, Alina Dizek of the Wall Street Journal. Alina, what's been happening?
So as COVID cases kind of rise, ebb and flow in the country, there's more people that are canceling plans for different reasons, including just being more safe around COVID protocols and or because they're tired and they don't feel like it. So there's a lot of excuses out there right now.
When some people can join a group setting and others can't, are we more inclined now to go ahead with it?
We are. We're definitely more inclined to just stick to the plans, even if someone has to cancel. There's there is not really a feeling of, you know, needing to reschedule because a friend can't make it. Everyone just wants to kind of move forward.
Alina, are we feeling guilty about breaking plans?
So there's a lot of people that used to break plans and feel guilty about it are feeling significantly less guilty now. They just want to be careful, but they don't feel bad when something comes up last minute and they need to reschedule or just cancel overall.
Alina, who did you talk to for your story?
I spoke with a lot of people who are canceling plans or have been canceled on for a variety of reasons. So one person had to cancel her birthday ski trip and her friends went ahead without her. Another person canceled a girl's weekend away and her friends went ahead without her. So there's a lot going on in terms of canceling last minute right now.
We're speaking with Alina Dizek of the Wall Street Journal. Are people using COVID as an excuse to get out of something that they didn't want to go to anyway?
Some of the people I spoke to admitted to using COVID as an excuse for things that they probably wouldn't have gone to anyway. And others even mentioned that they didn't tell anyone when they got COVID so they could use COVID as an excuse later on.
Ooh, that sounds rough. From a business perspective, how have cancellations changed, if they have, over the last 2 years?
From a business perspective, I spoke to some restaurateurs who were saying that having last-minute cancellations really impacts their dining business and can really make it more hectic to fill those seats last minute.
I spoke to a friend of mine who was making a manicure appointment, and when she went to make the appointment, they wanted a credit card number from her, and she decided not to do that. Is that something that more businesses may start doing to guarantee their spaces?
I think that in terms of businesses taking credit card numbers or deposits, I think it's always a fine line for them because they don't want to scare off potential customers who aren't totally ready to commit. But at the same time, they want to take a deposit for the potential service.
Now, this whole trend has been deepening over the past couple of years, all tied to the pandemic. Do we think that this is the, you know, quote, new normal that we've been hearing? Or do we think that maybe things will go back a little bit more normal than they had been prior to the pandemic?
I think that a lot of the people I spoke with talked about, you know, trying to regain a sense of stability and not feeling like anything can be canceled at any time. So it feels like people still have hope that, you know, we won't be canceling things last minute for too long.
Thanks, Alina. Alina Dizek of The Wall Street Journal. It's coming up on 30 minutes past the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
High interest debt can put you into a financial hole, and a lot of people are too embarrassed to ask for help. That's where Upstart comes in. Upstart can help you get one fixed monthly payment with a clear payoff date, whether it's for paying off credit cards, consolidating high interest debt, or funding personal expenses. You can even receive funds in as fast as one business day, from $1,000 to $50,000. And checking your rate at Upstart has to be the easiest process ever invented. The questions are simple, the drop-down boxes are user-friendly, and the application took less than 5 minutes. In addition, all your responses are encrypted and do not affect your credit score, so you have complete security and privacy. Don't wait. Check your rate today at upstart.com/Gordon. That's upstart.com/Gordon to check your rate today. Don't forget to use our URL to let them know we sent you. Loan amounts will be determined based on your credit, income, and certain other information provided in your loan application. Again, upstart.com/Gordon.
Exclusive stories and unique perspectives. You're listening to America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
On this Monday, June 6th, Jennifer Kashinka in for Gordon Deal, along with Dom Savino. Some of our top stories and headlines. Mass shootings take lives in Philadelphia, Chattanooga, and Saginaw. Russia's Putin warns the West about more attacks in Ukraine if the West sends long-range weapons to Kyiv. Over 50 feared dead in a church attack in Nigeria. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson faces a no-confidence vote that could oust him from power. Rafa Nadal won his 14th French Open title. And months after disappearing, an Iditarod dog is back with his musher. That story in about 20 minutes. Well, if you're feeling hopeless about the violence all around us these days, you certainly aren't alone. But there are things you can do to help make your community safer and facilitate actual change. Here with more, Dithula Barron, a community advocate and author of Walking in Light, Living in Love. Dithula, you have decades of experience in uniting communities through conflict resolution. What is step number one?
I guess the first thing, because I'm I do conflict resolution and mediation and peacemaking, and that's been such an important part of my background and my education, that I would first say it's just so important to just get still. You know, we're too much in the world. We could really slow down tremendously and spend time with ourselves. I think that's one thing the pandemic was trying to teach us, to slow down, get quiet, meditate. Even if we have never meditated before, we can get quiet, be still, and just listen, learn how to practice. Just going within, listening to that inner voice, that higher power, whatever we call it, and let that inner voice guide us. When we do that, we begin to connect to our higher power. We begin to connect to our higher selves. And we think, I believe, we think more rationally, and we're able to just behave more rationally as well.
What is your advice for people who are scared about violence in their own community?
Well, the first thing I would suggest is we start with our schools. You know, it's just so heartbreaking what's been happening with our schools. And I just think not only in our schools but in our churches and our neighborhoods and our families, it would be magnificent if we could just learn to live in love and in peace and make sure that our schools just develop a different kind of culture. And the children be taught about peacemaking and conflict resolution and learn how to just get involved in with each other on a really deep inner level. That goes for teachers, that goes for administrators, that goes for our leaders as well, the leaders in our states and in our countries, so that we can just begin to just know and accept that, you know, we have a loving society, and that would have a ripple effect and expand to other people. You know, starting in our schools is one thing, but I also think that we may be starting movements somehow. I think movements maybe start themselves. A few people take the steps, and then a movement takes on a life of its own. And where we just learn or begin to practice having a loving environment. You know, students could begin to have, and churches and families just begin to have established groups where they practice peace and love. Our country, our world, has gotten so far away from that concept that it would be great if we could begin to get there again.
We're speaking with Dithula Barron, a community advocate. How do you actually put that into practice, though? It's one thing to say we should get along, but how do you actually do it?
It takes practice. It's not something that we're attuned to. I know our country, I can't speak for other countries particularly, but I know in our country we've gotten so far away from that years ago. You know, we lived in villages, you know, our families, our churches, our neighborhoods, and so we got so far away from that. We've got to get back to that point again, and it's going to take steps, you know, maybe even baby steps. Unfortunately, I wish that, you know, we could just wave a magic wand and things would change overnight. But I do think that it's possible, but we've all got to really begin to practice that. You know, there's so much hatred and anger and bitterness in this world. You know, people, they just are not easily in tune to other people's embraces or approaches. And for those people who are not, you know, there's so many levels to this whole situation. But most of us, I believe, would be open and willing to do that, even if it just starts on a small scale. Now, there are other things that our country needs to do on a larger scale to address some of the other ill some of the other problems like mental illness. We've got to be more open to that, too. We shouldn't be afraid of it. I've heard people say they're even afraid to go to for therapy because they're not crazy. You know, but it's not about being crazy. It's about us getting help for ourselves and making sure that we get help for other people that we love as well.
What is the importance of relationship building?
I think everything is built on relations. You know, I've done nonprofit work for years. I've done fund development for years. When it comes to raising money, it's the first thing I say. It's all about building relationships. When it comes to resolving problems, it's all about building relationships. When it comes to building problems in communities, it's all about building relationships. And it's something we can't really shy away from. And I'm just really learning and teaching myself as I go along, too, just like everybody. You know, we all grow in segments.
Dithula Barron, a community advocate and author of Walking in Light, Living in Love. It's 20 minutes before the hour. Coming up, a marriage proposal gone wrong.
Want to eat healthier, but every supplement you've ever tried seems like the better it is for you, the worse it tastes? Then you have to try AG1 from Athletic Greens. I started taking AG1 because I wanted more energy and better gut health. What I didn't expect, the taste is better than any supplement I've ever had. I drink it, like it says, before anything else when I wake up. I guzzle those 8 to 10 ounces before my coffee and start my day knowing I've already gotten the recommended daily intake of all the good fruits and veggies. There's definitely a mental boost knowing you've started the day off on the right foot. I tackle the day now with more confidence and energy. AG1, by the way, is not only lifestyle friendly, it's cheaper than getting all the different supplements yourself. Try AG1. I love this product. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/Gordon. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/Gordon to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. athleticgreens.com/Gordon.
Today's Mic Drop is brought to you by Dell. For your small business needs, call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL.
Jennifer Kashinka in for Gordon Deal along with Dom Savino. It's time now for the Mic Drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. We'll hear a couple of offbeat stories making the social media rounds over the weekend. We start in California, where a free couch yielded a big wad of cash. According to the New York Post, Vicky Umodu from San Bernardino County said she was looking through Craigslist for furniture to buy when she spotted some pieces being given away for free due to the passing of a family member. When she got the free couch home, she found $36,000 stashed underneath the couch cushion. Thankfully, Vicky did the right thing and notified the family, offering to give back the money, and in return, she was rewarded. The family said they were not sure why so much cash was in the couch, later discovering hundreds of dollars stashed away in the home.
I wonder how many people still do that. Like, who has cash anymore? And then to have that much.
Well, and then $36,000. It sounds like this, you know, deceased family member. Unfortunately, you know, there's some things going on here that you know, the family was not aware of. And I don't know, who knows what they're going to uncover as they continue through the house.
Well, I'm glad she got, you know, gave it back, and I'm glad she got a little reward for it.
Yes,
good story.
Yes, feel good all around.
Mm-hmm.
And Jen, you and I have talked extensively off air about those often cringy public wedding proposals. So here's a story that might dissuade some future grooms looking to pop the question. Disney has apologized to a couple whose now viral marriage proposal was interrupted by an overzealous employee. The video was first posted to Reddit last week and has now been shared widely on social media. In the clip, a man gets on one knee to propose to his girlfriend on a platform in front of the Sleeping Beauty Castle at Disneyland Paris. Then, mid-proposal, an employee rushes up and snatches the ring box out of the man's hand and ushers the couple off the platform. The hopeful groom, looking stunned, is heard saying to the Disney employee, "She said yes," to which the employee quickly replies, "Yes, that's great, but over here will be even better." Onlookers immediately began to boo the employee.
Of course.
And people who knew the couple fueled the negativity fire by saying that the man actually had permission from another Disney employee to pop the question in that spot. Disney told Newsweek that they've apologized to the couple and they've offered to make it right.
How many proposals do you think happen at Disney per day?
Well,
that's the thing. That's probably this guy's whole job, right, is to keep people off of this platform, right? I always feel bad for people who get booed for doing their job.
Right.
But obviously there was some miscommunication here. Maybe some new person who said, oh, yeah, go ahead. It's no problem. No big deal. And then this guy, who basically probably stands around all day in front of the castle stopping people from proposing, gets booed by the crowd.
They must have proposals like all the time there.
Yes, you had one job. He did it well, and he got booed for doing it, basically, in this instance.
Oh, good grief. All right, thanks, Mike. Coming up, some money-saving travel tips.
When you're an innovative business, every blinking cursor is an opportunity. What will you do with it? Will you make something better or create something new? Our Dell Technologies advisors provide you with expertise and tools with Windows 11 to do incredible things. Because we believe there's an innovator in all of us. To do more with a Latitude laptop, Dell Technologies recommends Windows 11 Pro for business. Call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL.
Jennifer Kashinka in for Gordon Deal along with Dom Savino. Well, from high gas prices to soaring hotel rates, we know this is not going to be a fun summer for travelers. But there are a few things you can do to save money. When booking flights, don't necessarily think round trip. Price your trip out as individual one-way tickets, often on different airlines. You might be surprised by the fare differential. Instead of booking a round trip, check out the price of a one-way ticket on airline A and return ticket on airline B. In many cases, demand for individual flights on individual days results in a noticeable swing in prices. If you have unredeemed frequent flyer miles, the best strategy is to look beyond September 15th and another 270 days after that. Preliminary demand projections show a huge drop after September 10th. Don't forget the trains. Amtrak is still a relative bargain. Amtrak still has some unlimited travel passes you can buy in 15-day or 30-day packages that include hop-on, hop-off privileges with the entire Amtrak system starting at just $500 for adults and $250 for kids under 12. It's 9 minutes before the hour. Here's Dom Savino.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Bipartisan talks on gun legislation are set to continue on Capitol Hill this week as lawmakers try to do something in response to a spate of recent mass shootings. On CNN, Connecticut Senator Chris Murphy said he's more confident than ever something will be passed.
On the table is red flag laws, changes to our background check system to improve the existing system, a handful of other items that will make a difference.
And not everybody is on board. House Minority Whip Steve Scalise says he doesn't support legislation on red flag laws.
Well, first of all, you can look in California. They had a bill to raise the age in the state of California, and a federal court ruled it unconstitutional. So instead of trying to go down unconstitutional routes, why don't we look at why more young people are doing this?
Number two.
In the meantime, there was another string of gun violence across the country this weekend. Eight different states reported shootings, including Pennsylvania, Tennessee, and South Carolina. Between them, at least 12 people were killed and more than 60 others wounded. All this as investigators in Uvalde, Texas, are still working to piece together an accurate timeline of the school shooting there 2 weeks ago.
Number three.
The fighting continues in Ukraine's eastern Donbas region, where Russia continues to indiscriminately target civilian areas. Russia also carried out a strike on Kyiv, where it claims to have destroyed tanks provided to Ukraine by its allies. Despite that, the UK says it will join the US in sending longer-range rocket systems to Ukraine. Some encouraging news about two different cancer treatments. First, doctors are celebrating a new drug to fight rectal cancer. In a trial of 18 patients, cancer completely vanished in every patient. Separately, a drug targeting a protein that drives breast cancer growth has been shown to work against certain kinds of tumors. Researchers there say it could open new treatment possibilities. And the Queen of Christmas is being taken to court. Mariah Carey is being sued over her holiday hit, All I Want for Christmas Is You. Songwriter Andy Stone is alleging he co-wrote a song with the same title 5 years before Carey. According to a complaint filed in New Orleans federal court, Stone is seeking at least $20 million in damages for copyright infringement.
Why now? I read the story and I'm like, why now?
Always a good time to find 20 mil.
Oh my gosh, but this song's been out forever. Like, why? I don't get it. All right, Dominic, thank you. Coming up, Leon the Iditarod dog is found.
Innovation, resilience, agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
An Iditarod sled dog was found safe after disappearing from a checkpoint in the race 3 months ago and covering nearly 150 miles. The Iditarod Trail Committee says a musher from France was picking Leon up and returning with him to that country. Leon went missing in March after what the Trail Committee said was his escape from the Ruby checkpoint. In May, residents of the Alaska city of McGrath, over 120 miles south of the checkpoint, reported to the race director that they'd seen Leon frequently near a cabin. The resident of the cabin and another musher left food for Leon in the hopes of catching him. He was captured early Saturday morning and was safe, alert, and understandably skinny, but seemingly healthy. Leon was expected to see a veterinarian in the coming days and needs a health certificate before he can fly back to France. The nearly 1,000-mile race across Alaska began March 6th, just north of Anchorage. The route took mushers along Alaska's untamed and unforgiving wilderness, including two mountain ranges, the frozen Yukon River, and Bering Sea ice along the state's western coastline. That'll do it for this hour. For Dom Savino, I'm Jennifer Kishinka. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.
How would you love a chance to save some money on car insurance? GEICO can help. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote and get started seeing how much you could save.